Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this endlessly with you. Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this endlessly with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Rehab Podcast, aka the unofficial official Masked Singer podcast out here. We're here to talk about season 8, episode 2. We have 3 unmaskings to discuss, a format that's finally here to discuss, and a battle royale consisting of 2 people to discuss. Very confusing, but we're here to decipher it all. I am your host, Puya the Map Zanvakili, ready to go once again. And as always, I've got my lovely co-host here. It is the one, nay, the only, Liana the Spray Bottle Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Get your spray bottles in the chat. Let's go. I'm doing fantastic. I'm happy we finally got the actual format that we had been predicting or teased in all of the press. So I'm happy that that came to fruition. And this season is going to fly by, given the fact that there's going to be just so many new celebrities. I had already forgotten that William Shatner was on last week's episode until I saw he was the thumbnail of this week's episode. I was like, oh, right. Yeah, of course. Okay. All right. Let's go.
Right. We're down to 16 already, technically.
Yes.
16 unmasked.
Because we've had
5 unmasked, 1 not unmasked.
That's wild. We've had 5 unmaskings
in 2 episodes.
2 episodes in. Oh my gosh. Oof. Yeah. I will say, like, each unmasking still has the same amount of excitement, I think, that it has in previous seasons, except for maybe Chris Kirkpatrick's.
Yeah. They really, okay. So that's a great opener, because that's what we opened with this episode. They really saved it for a week, left us on a cliffhanger last week, only to then unmask him and then clearly move to the next day, because this wasn't recorded in the same time.
I thought I had missed something. Like, I thought in the same way that last week's episode, I felt like I had somehow missed a segment at the end, wrapping it up for us. I felt like I had missed a segment at the beginning, sort of getting us either both set up and then transitioning into what was Vegas night, because it was like, all right, and let's unmask Chris Kirkpatrick. Okay, it's Chris Kirkpatrick. All right, bye, Chris Kirkpatrick. It's Vegas night. Like, he didn't even get to sing, right? They just unmasked him. We moved on.
Pretty much, yeah.
Poor guy.
They really saved and gave him no platform to do anything. But hey, you nailed it. You did call that it was going to be Chris Kirkpatrick. So look at you go.
Yes. Okay. I did think, if I had to put money on it, if we truly went to Vegas, I would have probably put money on Drew Lachey. But you know what? I'll take it. It was a singer and not an athlete.
Yes, this is true. You got that one right. Now, here's what we're going to do today, folks. We're going to talk about episode 2, right, in its entirety. And then after we're done that, we're going to do a quick draft of the remaining 16 masks that are unmasked so far. We're not going to draft the harp, so the harp is going to go undrafted, which is funny, because if the harp wins, this draft is for nothing, but it'll be fun.
Yes, and I'm going to remember that we decided to do that, and so I'm going to look up the masks now.
Yeah, I just opened all of them in a little tab on the corner for later. So,
oh, okay. All right.
So I'm going to need to look at it, because it's literally, we're going to be going off of mask and nothing else. Last year, famously, they had put out a little preview that I watched, and I ended up picking Queen of Hearts because of the preview, and it worked. So this season.
Especially because I didn't watch the promo, and you
Sorry. I said last season, I meant last year, because there was a season this year that did not have Queen of Hearts in it, which Firefly one.
Yeah, we know, Jay. We know.
Yeah, they all mesh into one at some point.
It all does. Yeah.
Honestly, from the sun after, from season 4 after, I don't remember any of these seasons. I remember the winners, but that's
Piglet?
It.
Oh, okay. Same.
Okay, you're not going to show off? Okay, sad.
Well, I was going to say, because Piglet, Queen of Hearts, Firefly, and then Season 8, right?
That's right. You nailed it. Okay. All right. So, Liana, Chris Kirkpatrick gets unmasked. And then before we even get into the new performers, we got a performance from a former Masked Singer, aka runner up in Donny Osmond, who's going to be our guest host. What did you think of this opener for Vegas Night?
Ugh, it was full nostalgia because that performance is how we opened season one. And I remember sitting on my couch watching The Masked Singer, being like, what the heck am I watching? And realizing, oh, they got actual legit good singers. The other big shocker from that night was when they said that the monster lost his matchup, which, by the way, no, that's just
still ridiculous.
Although I think it was really the only time T-Pain was challenged in any way throughout that season, which it was totally false, but whatever. I guess they needed to put him in a little bit of despair. But I remember Twitter just being like, no way, Monster should have beat Unicorn. And then you had everybody reacting to those tweets, seeing like, what the heck is going on? These are the weirdest tweets I've ever seen. So, wow, what a time.
Yeah, Monster was in the bottom three with Terry Bradshaw and Antonio Brown, who got eliminated.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who survived that night?
Was Tommy Chong.
And Tori Spelling.
Yeah. And then, no,
Tommy Chong wasn't in that episode. Rumor Willis was in that episode.
Yeah, because she was the other sort of like top contender of the season.
Yeah, Tori Spelling beat out T-Pain, which is nuts.
Yeah. Well, I remember, because Rumor Willis lost to, it was like Joey Fatone and Rumor Willis got, well, anyway, whatever. We don't need to go through the Wikipedia page. The point is that it was so fun to have Donny Osmond back. I think he perfectly encapsulates Vegas as well. So it felt very fitting. And then to also have the performance, top notch for me.
Very much so. I did enjoy seeing him back, singing the very same song he sang that first time out to open the show, not even the season, which was good.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, it was the very, very first episode. And so we had that. And then to transition into, you know, obviously a song by your favorite artist of all time, Viva Las Vegas by Elvis. So it's a good Vegas.
You really want to pull at this thread. You really want to go down this road?
No.
We know who is the Elvis fan, period, in this household.
No, we don't need to discuss that. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Bye. You suddenly remember why you shouldn't have versed me? Okay. Good to know.
Maybe one day my secret will come out. Unless sister doxes me first.
She might. If you're listening, Marisa, release the tapes. Anyway, Nick Cannon wearing a full golden bedazzled suit. What were your thoughts on this outfit?
Well, did you know he won it in a game of poker?
Yeah, I did see that, Chiron. What was that about?
I have no idea. It was completely not acknowledged. Just like you said, in the Chiron, Nick Cannon won his suit in a game of poker while the Blue Man Group brushed him off with little like shaving brush things. Very bizarre. But I mean, he looked good for winning a suit in a game of poker. Not too shabby.
I mean, could be a worse suit. Could be a worse suit. He could have lost his birthday suit.
Yeah, and had to take the clothes off.
A whole other suit.
I wonder if they'd show that on TV. They just blur it out, probably. Yeah.
Okay, so then they open up with, you know, it's the reigning queen. The harp is back to battle once again. But then the harp wasn't going to open the night. The harp was going to actually end the night. And we're going to start the night with the panther. Now, when I saw this costume, Liana, the panther had my heart, had my soul. It took me back to the leopard. And I couldn't help but root for the panther. I was really hoping the panther was going to demolish the competition, but we'll get to the harp's performance later. That was never going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually also felt in the mannerisms from the panther, it was very reminiscent of your favorite, the snow leopard. I felt like it just the body movement, maybe it was because he's just so damn tall and so lanky, but it, just somehow the way physically he was moving throughout space, like, very much gave me those vibes.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did enjoy that quite a bit. And then what's it called? Do you want to go through the clue package for the panther here?
Sure, we can do that. Well, I think the other thing to note is the clue when the Panther walked out was Weekend Warrior. So I'm just going to say I was totally snowed. I was just like the panel in this episode. I was totally on the wrong track. Now looking back and going back through the clues, I'm like, oh, okay, that's what that meant. I mean, there's still some that I don't quite understand, but we can talk through it all. So clue, Weekend Warrior. And then in terms of the actual clue package, the text was like, oh, you always got to bet on yourself. There was a Men in Black throwing a basketball in the air. Then the Panther talks about rubbing shoulders with Beyonce. And I looked up the picture of Beyonce. It was her performing at the Staples Center, which fell under my own like tangent that I was going on. But we'll talk about that. The other main thing that was the takeaway from the package was that the Panther, people thought that he was dead, even my own family. So he had to attend his own funeral to see how others would remember me. A couple other video or visual clues were signs that said defense, but it was on two different signs, DEF, so defense, which is a clue. Panther's Creed on a videotape. And then at the end, I didn't know if this is important, but scholar, son, leader, lover, or lover, leader, whatever, and not in that order.
Yeah, I wrote the exact same clues here. So you say you were snowed. I had no clue who this could be, genuinely. The only thing I had to go off of was that the Panther was very tall, but that doesn't mean anything to me because even though I know my athletes, I don't know their voices. So the performance isn't going to help. And if the clue package don't help and I don't know your voice, then I'm just snowed. I'm just completely out of the running for anything.
I hate to admit this, but I was exactly on Jenny's wavelength. And this is before the song. Okay, just to be clear, this is before the song. Had people thought I was dead, even my own family. I was like, oh my God, it's Lamar Odom. And like rub shoulders with Beyonce. The picture was Beyonce performing at the Staples Center. It was basketball.
Lamar Odom did play for the Lakers at the
exactly.
Staples Center.
Exactly. He's a great defensive player. And then yeah. He sort of like is trying to rebuild himself. The lover part also for some reason, because I just remember Lamar Odom on Celebrity Big Brother being like, please, Chloe, please, Chloe, just watch this. I love you. For some reason, I was like, oh my God, it's Lamar Odom.
You picked the wrong Kardashian.
Well, which one? Not Khloe Kardashian?
Mm-mm.
Courtney's the tiny one. Kim is the middle one. And Khloe is the tall one. Right? Lamar. Yeah. Oh,
okay, no. Fine. You're right. I was trying to trip you up. It's fine.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Google is always here.
That takes the fun out of it. Don't
Google.
Well,
I thought you were. Okay. Well, so I watched Legally Blonde recently, and there's a moment where it's one of the classes, and the professor reads a quote, and she's like, who is that quote by? And a kid answers in the class. He's like, Aristotle. And she's like, okay, would you bet your life on it? And he's like, I think so. And then he's like, would you bet this kid's life on it? Like a different kid. And he's like, oh no, like, I don't want to bet his life. And then she's like, you should think before you speak. So that moment that stood with me, I was like, oh no, but I'm pretty sure it's Khloe, but I wouldn't bet your life on it, but I would bet my life on it. Does that make sense?
How about you bet neither?
Okay.
It is not a bet worth. Like, why would if it's a quote, it's a name. It is never worth the stake.
Okay, but I knew it was anyway. Okay, was this besides the point? I was like, I was for sure thinking it was Lamar Odom. I was convinced. Yeah. But then,
tell the audience about the time you bet that Yosemite Sam was the rooster from the Looney Tunes, and that was okay. Not the name of Yosemite Sam.
Okay, in my defense, that I was wrong, but.
In my defense, I didn't know what I was talking about.
I was one track minding it. It was bedtime. Okay. So it doesn't count. So that's besides the point. Then the song starts. And I was like, okay, this can't be Lamar Odom. There's no way. This performance is too good. The tone, just nothing sounded like Lamar Odom. But then I was completely lost.
Yeah, once the singing happened, my thought was, this isn't an athlete. I just don't know who it is. And nothing close for me. The performance was, what was the song? Feeling Good by Nina Simone. Mm-hmm. Amazing song. Mm-hmm. Amazing song and amazing performance. The Panther came in with a little bit of a strut, which I love. The motif was great. We haven't talked about this yet, but because the theme was Vegas, the dancers had they had dice heads. Their heads were die. And I love that. I thought that worked really well. I like that quite a bit.
Wait, was that in the Panthers performance?
That was in the previous performance with Donny Osmond. And then they came back up again later. But I wanted to bring them up here.
Okay, because I saw them in the second one, but I must have missed them in the first. Wow. Because I thought, remember how we talked about the crowns? So then I was like, oh, maybe the dice are going to be the performers like throughout.
I think every week they're going to have a thematic dancer. Like for everybody.
Yeah, but I think it's just the thematic dancers. Like it's not the, like the song has nothing to do with Vegas, right? Or am I wrong?
I feel like I've heard this song in like a casino scene in a movie, if that makes sense. But okay. I don't think the songs were Vegas themed because well, I've never heard the Elton John song that the pirate did.
What?
Yeah, I haven't. And then the Whitney Houston song, I don't know if that's casino theme. I don't think the songs are supposed to be themed.
Okay, well, that was part of our debate, right? Because for example, we're gonna get Andrew Lloyd Webber night, and now I'm like, well, are they gonna sing Andrew Lloyd Webber songs? I assume so.
What are the dancers gonna have Andrew Lloyd Webber masks? Like that's not gonna be it.
Well, for example, you could do "Waking Up in Vegas," for example, as like one of the songs on the night. Like the "Viva Las Vegas," I thought was a perfect choice. That was what I thought was gonna happen on the theme nights, is that it was gonna be like more explicitly themed in terms of the songs. I'm not mad at it. I'm happy that the contestants get to pick the songs they want.
Yeah.
Just that was my thought process going into tonight, but I'm not upset about the choice.
Well, I feel like, you know, American Idol did that, right? Where it was like, okay, this week it's this theme. It's 80s mm-hmm. themed, but they're all singers. So they're all like, oh, I can find a song that's going to match me. These celebrities, some of them can sing and could do with that, but there is no world where the pirate was going to come out and do it. Like there's like, oh, you can pick five between these five songs. They can't do that. So
No,
it makes sense. Yeah,
it makes sense. The other reason why I thought it could be Lamar Odom was because Chris Kirkpatrick was.
That's why I thought it wasn't.
Oh, well, no, because you know how they like to pick from, you know, it's like the similar celebrities that do these shows like Dancing with the Stars and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, maybe they just went to the Celebrity Big Brother cast. I mean, they already had Todrick Hall.
Yeah. But also to me, I was just like, that's too cute. Like how many of them are you going to have? Also, especially if one of your things is you don't want people to figure each other out on the show, like the contestants, and you want those reactions. You don't want like, well, what's next? Chris Kattan's going to be the fortune teller. Like that's not going to happen.
Maybe that's why they were on different episodes.
I mean, there's seven seasons worth of data, and I'm not asking you to do it because we're in the middle of the podcast, but maybe we do it after the podcast, or someone, one of the listeners, can let us know if there's ever been two people from like the same show that have ended up on the same season. I can't think of it right now, but.
Well, but I would understand that for a regular season, but for the way that this season is styled, I could see them getting away with it because they're actually very, very unlikely to be in the same episode.
Here's a fun exercise. Do you want to do a wager of will we see another person from this last season of Celebrity Big Brother on this season?
I mean, I think the answer is probably no.
Oh, sounds like you're agreeing with me.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
It's Yosemite Sam. The answer is Yosemite. No,
what's
Sam.
Todd Bridges up to? Is he busy?
He did the cooking show thing with Cynthia, right?
Sure.
Yeah, they did like a head-to-head like kitchen battle thing recently.
Okay, so he's free.
All right, well, it sounds like you're taking the wager. All right, we'll talk about stakes later. Anyway, so as far as the judges go, as far as their guesses went, we had Ken Jeong guessing Andre Drummond and Sam Richardson. Jenny did go Lamar Odom and Brian McKnight. And then Nicole went with Billy Porter, which Brian McKnight ended up being on The Masked Dancer, correct?
Oh, gosh. I don't
know. We've yet to see someone do both shows. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, The Masked Dancer only got one season, right?
Yeah. But I feel like as far as the show goes, because there are like there are sister shows at the very least, mm-hmm. right? I feel like if you did one, you're not going to be on the other. That's my canon. Yeah. Like, as a contestant.
You know what? Yeah, Brian McKnight was on Masked Dancer, and I remember being upset he was on Masked Dancer and not Masked Singer. Yes. Don't.
Indeed. Yeah. Then before we went to the next performer, the Nick Cannon was about to introduce the Pirate, but the Blue Man Group were there. Were you a Blue Man Group person growing up?
Okay, so I remember we went when I was younger. My mom, I want to say, took me to see the Blue Man Group. But I was young, and all I really remember, we sat in kind of like a back corner, and I just remember the drums with the colored paint. That's all my brain can process.
So what are you supposed to feel watching the Blue Man Group? Are you supposed to feel like, is it funny? Is it like acrobatics? Like, what is it that they do?
Yeah, I guess I would say it probably leans sort of on comedy. I mean, it's like a music art kind of show.
See, I don't think I'd get it. I think it'd be wasted on me.
Yeah, I don't think you'd get it.
Wow.
It's a pretty stupid? High. It's pretty highbrow. So it's performance art, and I just feel like you wouldn't get it.
You didn't know the name of the rooster in the Looney Tunes. Don't talk to me about highbrow.
Okay, I had a momentary lapse in memory. And you're going to hold that over me. That's so rude.
It's all I have. Remember, I don't have I don't have enough brow for the Blue Man Group, apparently.
Well, you got a lot of eyebrows.
That I do. That I definitely do. Yeah. Anyway, here's the Pirate. Okay. The Pirate, clue is, yes, what?
I had a thought and then it left my, oh, yes. Okay. You know what? The other thought I had was the song that the Panther sang, Feeling Good. Cheyenne Jackson, the Prince, has a cover of that song, and it is quite good.
So was your thought just a statement or a recommendation? Or what was this point of this thought?
Yes.
Lovely. Thanks for pausing me in the middle of my segue to announce that. It's great. So the Pirate's clue is that they're great at multitasking. Okay, we immediately hear the judges say that this is a smaller gentleman. So my first thing I wrote in my notes was Cat Williams question mark. And then immediately after that wrote, nope. So then we went to the clue package. And the clue package said, when I was 8, I wasn't popular. So I took that and the puppet in the hands of the Pirate. And I wrote Jeff Dunham before any other clues happened. And spoiler alert, I was right.
Yeah, so here's the thing. He's the only puppeteer comedian that I know. So to me, you're exactly right. The Pirate is actually holding a puppet, and the clue was great at multitasking. Within the clue package, it was like, everyone said I was a dummy, dinner for dummies, I'm never the star of the show. It was
late
just like,
laugh.
Yeah, it was like they took the clue package and it was like, yeah, I wasn't very popular when I was 8 years old. Puppets. So I had to get my own way to get a laugh. Puppets. So I went to Hollywood. Puppets. It's just screaming at you. Now, that being said, if it wasn't Jeff Dunham and it was some other puppeteering comedian, I would have been completely wrong.
Yeah, I felt good about my guess. And then the Pirate started singing. And because of how much everything was pointing to the puppets, mm-hmm. I knew I was right because the singing wasn't good.
I thought it wasn't bad.
It was not good.
Oh, that's so rude.
I mean, not bad compared to who? Who are you comparing the Pirate to?
Let me explain something to you about my feelings coming into the season. My feelings were that it was just going to be a couple good people and mostly garbos, because they weren't going to want to waste time on like a good singer, have them come in and get eliminated one episode in. Now, the fact that the Panther was in here and did get eliminated shows apparently that they don't really give a crap about that. But I could see the Pirate going like maybe third or fourth in a season. Like, the Pirate's not going to get eliminated first. you know? And I felt like he sang, the puppet sang, and I liked the song choice. I thought it was a great time.
It was okay.
Plus, they had the slots in the background. Also very
that
fun.
I did like. That was a nice addition to the performance.
Not appropriate for Twitch, but that's okay. And I noticed, this is where I noticed the dice head dancers, because I didn't notice them in the Panthers performance.
No, but not
I
did in the Panthers performance. They were in Donny Osmond's performance.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. Oh, I thought you said they were in the Panthers also.
No, I don't think so. Oh. But that's where I noticed them was Donny Osmond.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Well, that's what I thought, because I thought they were going to be in every performance, like the Crown dancers from last time. But they were only in the Pirates performance.
Gotcha. Yeah, I felt like this was fine. And then here's the nail in the clue coffin for me is when the pirate makes the puppet sing as part of the act. I was like, yeah, it's over for you.
Do you think he was doing the ventriloquism thing, even though he had a mask on? Or do you think he was cheating?
I mean, it might have been out of just instinct and habit he was doing it, but we'll never know the truth.
Oh, I know. Ooh, what a good conspiracy theory. How fun.
Is it? Because he's out, so it doesn't matter. It's not a controversy.
Okay. I just want more drama. The internet has been so fruitful with drama.
Yeah, maybe not having drama on The Masked Singer is the right way to go, though.
Okay, but not like that kind of drama.
Yeah, well, the last time they had drama, it was the not good kind. So
yeah, I'm not talking Rudy Giuliani kind of drama. I'm talking about like, did Jeff Dunham actually sing, or was it ventriloquism all along?
See, here's my hot take, and I don't mean to disrespect your thoughts. I don't think it's drama either way you look at it, whether he covered his mouth or didn't.
All right, well, fine. I guess I'm just a ventriloquism purist over here.
It's the simple pleasures with you.
Yeah, okay. I'm just, you know, the brow. I'm high brow.
Yeah, with your Blue Man Group and your Jeff Dunham. Really, really living in 2000. I don't know when the Blue Man Group was popular, so that joke might not even land. I don't want to be like, living in the 2005s and then...
Yeah, I feel like it was 2005. Like 2005, 2004.
That's when Jeff Dunham was like big.
See? Okay, well, that also fits with the Masked Singer, right? Of their sort of propensity to take people from a certain time, but... It's fine. I mean, it's fine. Everybody loves puppets.
Do they?
Yeah.
I mean, I like some of the Muppets. I don't know about puppets.
Everybody loves puppets.
Okay. All right. So then the judges, when it came to the guesses, they were all over the board here until Donny Osmond actually says Jeff Dunham. And then he says, and I'll tell you this, I know it's Jeff Dunham. Because I kissed him once.
Now that's the drama I want to hear about. Yeah, forget the ventriloquism. You're right. I was on the wrong track all along. This is the story I want to know about. What happened? When? What were the circumstances? I hope it was consensual.
I mean, I'm banking on it if he's talking about it, right? I'm hoping. I'm trying to see if I Google it, if it comes up. It does not. When you Google it, it's all about Masked Singer. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe one day the story will come out, but I feel like you skipped over one of the most important parts of the Pirates.
Oh, how dare whole I?
Clue package. We got a video from Carrot Top.
Oh yeah. How could I forget? Yeah. So that was the extra clue they gave us after the performance was Carrot Top.
This was so weird. Also, dude, Carrot Top looking rough. I don't mean to judge, but like, he's looking rough. Now, to be fair, I don't actually remember what he looks like except for the hair. So he could have looked like that all along. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just feel like he was looking a little, you know, like life's been hard to him.
Do you think that he was the clue because they both have shows in Vegas?
Yeah, I think that's possible, especially because the way that the clue package was phrased was it was the menu thing. He's a, you know, what is it? Is he a comedian? Is he an actor? Or is it me? And I felt like that was maybe like, that's the clue. It's Carrot Top.
Yeah, I thought it could be that, because I know a couple of Jeff Dunham's puppets. I obviously, as a brown man, know Ahmed the Dead Terrorist, of course. I also know that there's a jalapeno one. So I thought maybe it's a jalapeno carrot, like vegetable link up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't get that. Did he like collaborate with Jeff Dunham or something?
I mean, they both have Vegas residencies, right? So they probably have linked up in Vegas. I'm looking at photos of them hanging out from 2015.
Okay. Her top look rough.
Liana, leave him alone.
You think there's drama there?
Oh my God. Who are you at this point?
Feed me.
No, you've watched too much Big Brother. Just take it's time for the hiatus. Leave it. Leave the drama. Listen to Mess Magnets if you're looking for drama. We're moving into the harp here.
Between Twitch, the chess drama, and now the Try Guys. Been good. I'm just saying. Yeah. Okay, the harp now.
Well, you take it away then. I would like for you to start talking about non-drama stuff. So you go ahead.
Fine. I'll talk about non-drama. Ooh, you know what we could talk about when it comes to drama stuff in the harp? So if I do believe, which I do believe it is Amber Riley, we can talk about the whole Amber Riley, Leah Michelle stuff. That could be fun. No? Okay.
I think I speak for everyone at this point. Just keep it to the Masked Singer, please.
Fine. All right, let's talk about the clue package. So things we got: opera glasses, 3D glasses, which the 3D glasses we'd seen before, as well as the witch's hat, because the harp. So the Masked Singer has done this before, where the clue packages for repeat performers is usually like, oh, the summary of where they came from, a little bit about how hard they're fighting, about how bad they want to win this. And then we will get a few nuggets here and there. And so these are the nuggets: the opera glasses, 3D glasses, witch's hat, like I mentioned, which I don't remember if we had seen the opera glasses previously. Maybe you can correct me on that, because I do remember the other two from her previous clue package, because I had talked about how the 3D glasses were from the Glee 3D movie, and then the witch's
hat. I had 3D in my notes. I did not have opera glasses from last week's notes.
Yeah. Okay. I would believe if she was opera trained or something, where she's performed in the opera or whatever. She's an absolutely outstanding singer. So I'm sure that's where it fits in. And then the Night CD, that was the new clue that we got. I think that absolutely, I believe it was Nicole who nailed it on the head with the Dream Girls. Night, what do you do? Dream Girls, because she mentioned seeing her in the West End. In Dream Girls. So I have to believe that that's what that clue means.
I mean, you have to feel good when Nicole's the one co-signing your guess, unlike me, who last week was like, I think it could be Tom Brady. And then I looked at my notes and I was like, oh, Ken Jeong was the one who guessed Tom Brady. Damn, I feel stupid for saying that on the podcast.
Although his final guess for the Panther, I was like, maybe he's right, because he's really good at the NBA players.
But like, the thing is, I feel like I would have heard Andre Drummond sing at some point, and I just did not buy it at all.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm going to look it up now and see if Andre Drummond can or does sing. Mm-hmm. Because I've never heard him sing before. And I feel like at this point I would have known.
Right. To see if it was even within the correct ballpark. Yeah.
He does have he does have a couple raps that he's done.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Get it. Let's go. Well, to continue on the harp, those were the main clues that I had. But then we have to talk about the performance, because she was the last performer of the group. And so I thought, okay, definitely not the pirate, maybe the panther. If the harp has a bad week, the harp had an outstanding week. I felt like it wasn't even close who was going to move on. First of all, pick a Whitney Houston song. If you are a fantastic singer, like the harp is, it's a done deal, right? Because it allows you to show off so much of your vocal range. The focus is 100% on you. The bead curtain that was around her with the smoke just looked so stunning. I felt like there was absolutely no way the harp wasn't going to move on as our queen of this round.
No, I mean, you're spot on. I felt the exact same way, where I thought the panther has a chance, and that there would be, you know, depending on the song choice, the panther could pull an upset here. But then the minute the Whitney Houston song comes on, and it was done to perfection, I felt like this was a finale performance. I felt like, why are we even continuing the show? Just give the harp the championship, give the harp the trophy, because the season's over. Who's going to top that? That was like an all-time top five performance right there.
it did feel like the sort of final four, final five, maybe the actual finale performance where you just want to put the, you know, nail it home, especially with this song choice. So I don't know where she's going to go from here. Obviously, we're going to see her next week because she is moving on. I don't know how you top that. But like I said, she is an outstanding singer. So I believe in her abilities.
She has to do one more, right? Next week, I believe, is the last time that she's going to be performing. And then we're going to move into the others, I think, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay. How do we know that? Did we learn that from something?
There were many articles we went through last week. It's either next week or the week after.
Okay, just based because we need to get to the semifinalists, right?
Because we're at 17 singers still in the running, right? Because, no, 22, 5 got unmasked. So that means 17, then you remove the harp, 16. So if we go through two more next week, that makes sense mathematically, right? Because then it'll be about 7 performers per. No, next week's the last one. Next week's the last one for the harp. Yeah. If the harp beats out the last two, the harp is in the semifinals.
Well, that makes sense if they're going to do 10 episodes, right? Because it'd be 3-3-3 and then the finale.
And that makes sense why the first episode had 4 for whatever reason. It just, they took out that, they eliminated one extra there.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Which, again, I mean, we haven't talked about the format all that much, but my God, this is rough because I refuse to believe they're going to have anyone that's going to beat the harp like next week. I just don't see it.
Didn't we spend a good chunk of last week's episode talking about the format of the show?
Yeah, but not this episode.
Okay, yeah, I suppose so. I mean, here's the thing. I think with the Firefly, because after in last season, right, the Firefly was the winner of Group 1. And I think we felt like, oh, there's no way anyone could beat the Firefly. But then we went through, we met the Ringmaster, we met the Prince. I thought, you know what? Yeah, maybe there's a chance. Obviously, it didn't matter. The Firefly ended up pulling out the win in the end. And I do wonder if something similar is going to happen here, where we're going to end with the harp. Oh my God, she's so amazing. How is anybody going to win but her? We'll get the next two rounds where someone will emerge the victor. And, you know, it's going to feel like a fair fight going into the end. So,
no, true. But I think as far as this group goes, I refuse to believe they've put someone else on harp's level in this batch.
I completely agree. So I think, okay, here's how I would do it if I was designing the show. I think I would have one where just the first person wins all the way through. The next round, I would do it where someone who shows up in the second episode wins the whole thing. And then maybe round three. No, then maybe round three of the first person win all the way.
I was going to say, I think the best spot to be, the best position to put the best performer of the group is the second batch, because that makes it so that, ooh, someone amazing just showed up episode 2. Oh, I bet someone amazing could show up episode 3. Whereas here, now that the harp has gone through 5 performers, I refuse to believe you've put someone on the harp's level as the like 6th or 7th performer there.
Yeah, exactly. Are they really going to do that? Like, they're going to have the harp give? Well, maybe. I don't know, because this was a finale worthy performance. Well, where they're like, all right, we saw everything you've got. Bye. Yeah.
You know, we harp, pun intended, we harp on the season formats, but because of the fact that they keep changing them every year a little bit, it's so much harder to read what the quote edgic or edit is going to tell us. Because the way I see it, if next week they bring on someone that's incredible, I would look at him like, oh, and especially if the person is who you and Nicole think it is, it's like, oh, of course, we should have known the minute Nicole said her name that she wasn't going to get to the semis, right? But then for all we know, the harp still makes it through anyway. And we're like, oh, of course, they were never going to put someone as good as the harp in this group. So either way, I feel like I can see a logic of how next week goes. And I guess I like that because it's not completely predictable.
Yeah. Well, whatever. We're along for the ride. Again, it's all going to be a blur because, like I said, I totally forgot that, you know, Eric Idle was on last week or, you know, whatever, whomever was on.
Yeah, Eric Idle and William Shatner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Heck, so then, I already forgot about Kirkpatrick and he got unmasked this episode.
He did.
So.
So then, okay. So then it came down to the unmasking / the vote reveal. And now we're finally doing the format that Mike Bloom put out in the preseason, where the third place is going to get unmasked. They will then be escorted to the VIP section to sit and watch the rest of the episode play out. And the top two will face off in what they're calling a battle royale, which honestly should just be called a head-to-head because a battle royale is more than two people, but whatever. And then the winner of that, as decided by the judges, will go to the next round. What did you think of the fact that the judges get to decide?
I mean, the thing is that even if there was the audience voting, you can just rig it, right? So I don't know. I don't really care if it's a fan vote and the judges or just the judges. To me, it doesn't really matter.
No, I care. I think you got to put it on the fans. I think the audience has to be the decider. Even though I think that the result wouldn't have changed here. I think that the harp after that performance was always going to win. I feel like don't put it in the judges' hands, especially one of the judges is a guest, right? Like the guest judge, how much do they know, really?
Well, it's Donny Osmond. He was the OG to the Masked Singer. I did like that when they voted, they just had their normal phones out. I just imagine them in a Discord group messaging.
in a WhatsApp chat.
Yeah. Messaging their votes.
Yeah, like Robin Thicke writes, so we're going the harp, right? And then Ken Jeong replies with 100 emoji. They're like, all right, yeah, we're on the same page.
It's yeah, exactly.
Cool. And then Donny Osmond's like, how do you work this contraption?
Is that because he's old?
No.
How is he old? Ageist?
He's not. He's 64. He's not old at all.
Well, how old is Robin Thicke? Like 50?
I don't think. Is he in his 40s? Robin Thicke's 45.
Okay. Whoops. Sorry, Robin.
Nah, it's okay. All right. Anyway, so we get to the unmasking. Surprise, surprise, the pirate is getting unmasked. And the final guesses, we had Terry Fader, we had Dana Carvey. Then we had Jenny McCarthy go from Steve Carell to last second switch and say, oh my God, what if it is actually Carrot Top? And this was all a ruse. And Carrot Top was supposed to throw us off by not being him because he's the clue, but he's the actual person. She 4D chests herself into another guess that was not right because Donny Osmond nailed it from the jump. It was Jeff Dunham. Jeff Dunham, welcome to the Masked Singer. And goodbye from the Masked Singer.
Yep. Did he, I think it was Ken who said he was the highest grossing comedian. Is that real?
I think, is it not Kevin Hart? I feel like it's Kevin Hart.
I feel like it's Kevin Hart too. Or Jerry Seinfeld.
No. Now I think it's Kevin Hart.
Okay.
Highest grossing what, comedian?
Well, I think that's what he said.
Forbes ranked Jeff Dunham as the highest paid comedian in the United States behind Jerry Seinfeld and Chris Rock. Oh. But what year?
Yeah, 2004.
Okay, 10 richest comedians of 2022 as said by StyleSCMP.com. Okay, they have Rowan Atkinson at 10th place. Like, give me their number one. What are we doing here? Number one, Jerry Seinfeld. What?
That's what I said.
But number two, Ellen DeGeneres. What Ew. Ranks a comedian? Because I swear it was Kevin Hart.
Well, he said highest grossing, so like making the most amount of money.
Jeff Dunham cannot be the highest grossing, right? In like a year or something, maybe. Then I don't know. I'm looking at another list, and that also has Jerry Seinfeld as number one. So maybe you were right. I have no idea. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, whether it's high grossing or not, Jeff Dunham is the one unmasked here. He is then escorted to take a seat and watch the Battle Royale play out. Now, the Battle Royale was interesting because the song they had to do the same song in different styles, quotation, and they did Born to Be Wild. And I felt like based on what we had heard from the Panther that the Panther was going to have the leg up here, but that didn't change anything.
Well, the other thing they said about the Battle Royale is that they were going to sing the song in two different styles. Where?
Right. Like, this wasn't a song that I feel like you can do in many different styles.
I thought it was going to be, okay, we're going to get one, I don't know, like reggae version or something. I thought it was going to be very different, but no, it was not. It was just them all singing Born to Be Wild by Steppenwolf. Yeah, so.
I thought maybe the harp does it ballad style, but I don't think that ended up happening. I mean, they've done this before. This is the SmackDown pretty much, except they're singing the same song.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think they've had ones, or even when they do the performances together where they sing the same song. We've had different variations of this, but I do like that they have to sing the same song. I think that's good.
No, I agree. That's a good twist. I mean, that's the twist I want them to run with here. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, the Panther goes first. I thought, okay, Panther. In my notes, I wrote, Panther's a rocker. This doesn't seem fair. And then the harp started, and I wrote, yeah, put the Panther out of his misery. It's over. It's done. Well, and then, yeah, go ahead.
No, I just felt like I could see the Panther making, honestly, the final. I was going to say originally, I was going to say final six, but genuinely, I could see him making the final three. So it, I kind of feel cheated a bit to have the Panther go so soon. I wanted to see more performances.
I agree. And that's why I think that's why some of the older formats are better, because even though there's, quote, a front runner in the group, you still get to see like the top three of that group perform two or three times, which is nice. Whereas this format, if someone comes in, whether they are at the same level as William Shatner in singing or the Panther, they're getting the same airtime, which is not ideal.
Yeah, I do wonder, though, if they couldn't get people unless it was, yeah, but you're probably only going to have to sing once.
You think that they had to sweeten the pot? I feel like maybe for William Shatner, but I feel like the Panther, I could see being down to perform longer and more on the show. I feel like it's just the format they decided to like mess with this year. And maybe they did this because they thought we'll be able to get more celebrities of like a higher caliber because they can one and done it.
I mean, if Montel Jordan was willing to do it, wouldn't he have done it before? You know, like, why now?
I mean, they reached out to him now, maybe. We don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, so you've already now mentioned who the unmasked is. It is Montel Jordan, which I was a lot more bummed that we lost the Panther after the unmasking, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. Because he's someone that, as I mean, they talked about on the show, has been mentioned multiple times as someone who could potentially be here. Whenever there's someone who's tall, of course, that's their guess. So it did feel, it was kind of sad. It felt like a bit of a, like I said, a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, I mean, you hate to see it, but this is the name of the game this season, unfortunately. And it culminates in us losing people that should leave and people that maybe shouldn't leave so early by episode two. But unfortunately, and I would say, you know, I don't think we're going to disagree here. The Panther easily the best unmasked so far.
Yes, definitely. I would say that for sure. I think the right decision was made. Obviously, the harp absolutely deserved to move on. It just would have been nice to have the Panther perform one more time.
One more time was all we asked. Yeah. So the guesses, Robin Thicke went with Iman Shumpert. Donny Osmond did end up asking Dr. Ken for his advice. Ken said, it's Andre Drummond. Donny Osmond guessed Andre Drummond. And then Ken said, loser, I'm guessing Sam Richardson. So
all wrong.
Yeah.
So can you explain some of the clues to me? The only one that immediately stood out to me was obviously Def Jam, like Def Jam. That was the only one that immediately stood out to me. The rubbing shoulders with Beyonce, I could understand because obviously you're going to be in the, you know, the music world. But the rest, is it because the attending your own funeral? What is that about? Is that because, like, did something happen or is it because he's a born again Christian? Is that what it's in reference to?
Well, I wouldn't be able to tell you because I don't know a lot about his life.
Okay. That was my guess. Oh, yeah. 2012, an internet hoax claimed that Jordan had died. Okay,
there we go.
Thanks,
that,
Wikipedia.
That sounds about right. Yeah, that makes sense. There you go.
Huh.
Yeah. So, yeah, there we go. Montel Jordan. And I do love that they let him sing his own song on the way out as opposed to the song that he performed on the show. I feel like let the artist sing their own song out because it's their best version. It's their song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm okay with that as well, with more leniency when it comes to the performance. Because, you know, they started with, and now performing unmasked. Yeah. Let them do whatever they want. It's fine.
Exactly. And then the harp gets to move on. So the harp is going to make it to night three, or week three, rather. And the harp will actually be taking on two. Also, you know, speaking of costumes, and we're about to draft here, is going to be taking on two costumes that I don't see a lot of promise for. One is the Mummies, which is a group of three, and then one is the Fortune Teller.
So I would have thought that the Fortune Teller, just from looking at the costume, obviously a gimmick. Mm-hmm. If the Mummies weren't going up against the harp, I would have more faith in them, but they are going against the harp, so I do not.
Yeah, so for me, immediate prediction, I'm looking for a trio of some sort, probably a comedy trio or just a famous celebrity trio that is not a group or a band of three.
Yes, I think that's probably that's probably right. I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to see because we have two groups of three, the Lambs and the Mummies.
Yes, which maybe the Lambs are the artists. I don't know. I mean, I'm following this. This is, again, a lot of speculation on my part. I'm just going off the assumption that the they're not going to have two heavy hitters next week. They're going to have weaker performers ready to go.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay. Well, that brings us. I also want to say that Nick Cannon did figure out who it was right after the second performance and then promptly told all the judges their final guesses were wrong as he was unmasking the Panther, which I did like quite a bit.
I think he did that also for.
He's done that for a couple of people. Yeah. Yeah. He's got, you know, when he knows and he doesn't shy away from letting us know that he knows.
I hope they bring Montel Jordan back in another season and we don't think it's him because he's already been on.
I feel like it's, you know, I wish. I don't think they will. There's two things I need to see them do, right? Bring someone in for a returnee under a new costume, please. That'd be great. Second, make someone or have someone sing their own song because I think that is the best and most blatant way to try and throw the judges off.
I would love that so much.
Same. It's been eight seasons. You're doing all these format changes. Do that. Make that happen, please. Mm-hmm. Okay. Liana, here's the thing, right? Where we said quick draft. Let's quick draft. And because I'm very nice, you can go first.
Oh, okay. Great. I am going to
pick. And the harp, wait, just a reminder, you can't pick the harp. You can pick anyone else on the board.
Okay. Are we doing a snake draft or are we doing just a back and forth?
Let's just do back and forth. I feel like we don't know anything. So back and forth is just fine to me.
All right. I'm going to go with the scarecrow.
Okay. Why?
It looks like the scarecrow has a lot of mobility in the costume, which is something that I look for. And I like the pose with the arms out. The head may be a bit cumbersome, but I think overall the costume has a lot of movement and I like that for him or her.
That is a very good bit of analysis there. If you're trying to, you know, go off just costume impressions, mobility does equal razzle dazzle and we know razzle dazzle equals good success. So that is a very smart pick from you with the first pick. Now I'm going to follow that exact same level of logic. And I am going to go ahead and pick the snowstorm.
Yeah. So those were my top two picks and it wasn't even close. And I have no idea where to go from here.
Well, I'm happy. I thought snowstorm was going to be your pick. So I'm happy I was able to snipe there.
I thought to me, the way it, the body looks, it, I felt like I was like, they're not. The harp is so good. And like, I feel like the snowstorm would be another female powerhouse vocal. So I thought I should diversify the potential talent on the table. But this close to picking the snowstorm. Also because the costume is so freaking cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. Your next pick.
Oh, okay. My next pick is going to be Robo Girl.
Damn.
Again, similar reasons.
Yeah. Robo Girl for Liana.
It looks like less movement, I would say, overall, but I'm fine. Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I think the movement will be fine there. I really like Korn. So I'm going to go with Maze.
It's got the jizz.
Hey, give me Maze.
Okay, Maze for you.
I feel like Maze looks like it's going to be a good singer. There's also mobility. I don't think the Korn's going to have the Maze is going to have a problem with movement all that much. The head does look pretty heavy, but I don't think I'm concerned about it.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep calling her Korn.
It's gonna be so tough, especially with the TikTok meme that's come out this summer. It's gonna be impossible, but we'll do our best to stay professional.
All right, I'm gonna take a risk. I'm gonna go for the Lambs.
Interesting. Is this the logic of, well, they can't have two trios that are bad?
Yeah. That's exactly correct. Because I'm like, look, the Mummies can't be that great if they're up against freaking harp. So let me bet on the Lambs.
I can't wait for the Lambs to be the memes. And then next week, the Mummies are actually decent.
I would believe that.
Yeah. So here's my qualm, and I'll tell you my honest thoughts here because, like, whatever, it's fine. This is a quick draft, doesn't matter. Bragging rights is always there, but you know. I'm intrigued by the mermaid.
Yes.
But the mermaid cannot leave the stone, right? Because it's got a fin.
As far as we know, yes.
Yes, but that costume intrigues me to no end. I actually love the costume quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are you picking the mermaid?
It's hard, you know. It's hard. I'm looking at the other ones and, like, they're fine. But screw it. I'm going to pick it. Mermaid.
The mermaid costume is very cool.
Yes.
I'm actually kind of obsessed with it. I think it's going to be someone who's potentially a good singer, but I don't think they're going to last very long because of the whole rock thing. But I think you could have someone who's very good on your hands. So my next pick is going to be, just because I think the costume is so freaking cute and I would die if they were not on my team. Yes, baby. Avocado, yeah. Come to mama.
It was between avocado and mermaid for me. I'm not even going to lie to you. The avocado is a very cute costume, but it's also too cute, where I feel like it's a very meme-ish early exit costume almost.
Oh, they're not going to win, but it's the most adorable costume.
I don't know. The piglet one, anything's possible, you know?
Yeah, but the avocado, he's got little Masked Singer high tops. It's just, it's so cute.
Okay, so I was about to go with the same logic you went with, but I now don't think I'm going to do that. I'm going to go with the logic that we've had some very good singers in very weirdly named costumes. We've had the thingamajig. And now we have Sir Bugaboo. Sir Bugaboo. Put Sir Bugaboo on my team. I do not know what Sir Bugaboo is, but we move.
Yeah, no one does. It's provocative. So I was going to say, my next two picks, Sir Bugaboo was one of them. So I'm going to go with the other person, and that is the gopher.
Ew.
Also, what? Why?
I hate the gopher. The gopher is my least favorite costume on the board.
It looks so angry. I love it. Look how angry he looks.
And why is the gopher like the sheriff in town? He's got a cowboy hat and like denim.
Yeah.
And
there's a
bolo
tie. Sheriff in town. The gopher.
So why the gopher?
Because I'm about to go for that win. Dab. Let's go.
Oh, God. We're married.
I don't know. Though. It kind of looks like it can move a bit. So.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Not going to lie to you.
Thumbs up.
Okay, so for my next pick, I am going to look at this and I'm going to think about it, but not for too long because you left my looks fun costume on the board. I'm going to go with the thing that brings all the boys to the yard, and that is Milkshake.
That was my next pick. I was about to make the same joke. That's so
funny. Liana, my team's better than yours. You're damn right. It's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge.
Okay, do you have an OnlyFans?
What? your next pick.
Okay, I'm going to pick the Venus Flytrap because I also like the way this costume looks.
The Venus Flytrap to me is like the ultimate wild card costume.
Exactly. I have no idea.
It could be great. It could be horrendous.
And I'm on that Venus Flytrap train until it eats all the bugs in the room.
Well done. You nailed it. Know. Okay. So let's be honest with each other. Are we going to, we're leaving. I assume the mummy and the fortune teller are about to be the last two picks here, right?
That is correct.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. I was not planning on drafting either one of those. So I'm just going to go ahead and leave those at the bottom. So how many, that was with the beetle, the bride and the walrus.
Yes, of the three that aren't from that group, which I get two of them. I get to have that two of them here. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to go with, you know what? I loved Dragon, Justice for Dragon. Mm-hmm. We're going to go with Bridezilla. And I refuse to call this costume Bride. It's Bridezilla to me. I'm going with Bridezilla here. It is a dragon in a bridal outfit.
Yes. Looks a bit cumbersome, but you know what? Could be a surprise.
I think
so. I was probably going to pick Bridezilla next. But instead, I'm going to go with the walrus because the costume is cute and it looks like Paddington the Bear.
The walrus is very flippin' cute and could have been my next pick. But I'm actually kind of happy that I have to pair up with my Bridezilla the suit-wearing, snappily dressed beetle.
Okay, the only thing that my brain can think of when I see the Beatles costume is, hello, my darling, hello, my baby, hello, my ragtime gal.
Is it because of the four hands?
I don't know, or the suit, or the hair, or something. That's the only thing, and my brain just runs that song on repeat.
So the Wikia says, their mop top hair is likely a visual pun to make them resemble a member of the Beatles.
Ah, that's what they're going for.
Oh, and that's like, is the Beatle walking on Abbey Road? Is that why it's like a side portrait?
Maybe. I guess so.
All right. Well, stretch, Liana, here's the thing, right? I gave you the first pick. Can I pick from these two first?
Yeah, sure. You can have the mummies.
You thought I wanted the mummies?
No.
Sounds like you thought I wanted the mummies.
No. What? Huh? Who said that?
You want the mummies, huh?
Damn it. Just pick.
Why? Do you feel torture here?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm just going to pick the mummies because
no!
I was immediately going to be like, no, I'm kidding. You can have them. You can have whatever pick. But then you said which one you thought I was going to take. And I took that as a sign of that's who she wants. So I'm going to take them. The only reason I end up picking the mummies is that the fortune teller is literally in a box. And I just simply do not see someone that stationary winning the whole thing.
I was just trying to collect as many contestants as possible. So if I had the lambs and the mummies, then I'd have four more contestants than you. And I feel like that's a win as well.
It's a numbers game. It's a numbers game.
It's a numbers game for me. It's a numbers game, you know, because of the implication. So, yeah. Okay, cool. So to recap, I wrote them all down.
Same.
Scarecrow, Robo Girl, lambs, avocado, gopher, Venus flytrap, walrus, fortune teller, and you have snowstorm, maze, or corn, mermaid, Sir Bugaboo, milkshake, Bridezilla, beetle, and mummies.
I think you have the winner on your team. No,
I think that's a lie.
I think the harp is the winner, and we just wasted 20 minutes doing this.
Good.
We have to figure out who would win in that scenario, right? If the harp wins, one of us still has to win the draft somehow.
Okay, well, then I think it's the second overall place? Average. No, I think it's average placement.
I don't like that. Can we just make it second place?
No, average placement.
Why?
Okay, how about this? How about we wait and we see, and then we'll pick.
Isn't that like cheating? Because then if you see that your two were the two eliminated next episode, I mean, we're each going to lose one next episode. But you're going to be like, well, no, let's do the second place thing.
Yes, that was my strategy. Okay, fine. We'll just do second place.
I think we'll do second because we've always gone with winner takes all anyway. So to just go second place takes all at that point makes sense.
Let's have Randy make some weird draft.
Oh, God. The Randy Newpol draft.
Yeah, and we'll predict boot order and then we'll each week we'll draft. I love it.
All right. Okay. So yeah, we'll see how this plays out. But that brings us to the end of the podcast. I hope you had a lot of fun, Liana, because I definitely did. Yep. But let the people know, where can they find you? What other projects you have going on at this time?
Okay. On Twitter, at Liana, RHAP. I am podcasting about Big Brother. We're doing a finale show of the RHAP B&B, but that's honestly old news at this point. But Mike was sick, so we're going to be recording this weekend. And then also the Survivor B&B, we're going to be back for episode 2. I'm super excited. So for the Survivor B&B, we have Kevin Jacobs as our guest from Big Brother Canada. We have Maggie Morgan for B&B. Blah. Word vomit. And then also I covered the first episode of Lego Masters with my sister. And then we're going to be doing sporadic coverage throughout the season. So if you are a fan of Lego Masters, keep an eye out for that as well.
Yeah, just for the, this is a behind the scenes if you've listened this far. Oh. It is 9:30 at night and Liana's way past her bedtime. That's why you're hearing her word vomit all over the place.
Yes, and I still have work to do. Oh, and I forgot to mention the fact that Staples Center was renamed to Crypto.com Arena completely slipped past my mind in apparently the past year. And I am like, what? Especially because as we talked about, Puya and I talked about offline, crypto's in the garbo. So like, what? Anyway, move on. You can do your things now.
All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. Now with the Big Brother season over, I will be there more often. So come through and say hi. Would appreciate it. 90 Day Fiance podcast is going strong right now. I just had Kirsten McInnes on with me, and I will be having Brian Scalley on with me the following week. Should be a lot of fun. Definitely check me out over there. I did talk the finale of the Big Brother season over on RHAP, so check that out. I lost the bet, so I had to do something at the start of that podcast. So if you want to see that, you can go find that over there. I'm not happy about it, but it is what it is. And last but not least, if you could please leave a rating and review for this podcast, we would greatly appreciate it. Else we'll find the podcast that allows us to get some much needed feedback. And we are currently sitting at, let me see what I want to set our goal as for this season, Liana.
I love goals. Can we make a chart for it, like a sticker chart?
We don't. What? No. Why?
For fun.
All right. Well, amazingly enough, there we go. It loaded. We have 133. Can we get to 150 this season? There are a lot of podcasts on this network that have surpassed 200. We want 150. That's all we're asking for. It's not a big ask. So please, if you can, go and leave us a 5-star rating and review and let us know. What do you like most about this podcast? Is it the commentary about the show? Is it the rest of the time when we don't talk about the show? Is it the draft? You let us know. We would love to hear all about it. And we appreciate you. Thank you for listening. If you made it through this whole podcast, can't thank you enough. Hope you have a fun weekend. We will unmask you next week. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this and this say with you. Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this and this say with you.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.